All right. Not trying to alarm you, and I don't want to start any drama, but Burning Man's like 150 days away, and Halloween's like 210 days away, and then we have every single one of the Comic-Cons, or the Santa-Con, or the Bunny-Con, Dragon-Con, X-Con. I have to ask, because inquiring minds, they're going to want to know. Do you know what you'll be wearing? Have you decided yet? Let it be luminous. Let it be legendary. Maybe you could even let it be LEDs. In this episode, we'll get our tiny little hands dirty with wearables as we explore a few of the materials to take any cosplay costume from fab to flawless in no time flat. I'm Stacey Mulcahy, and friends, this is The Maker Show. There is a lineup of usual suspects when it comes to the materials for your wearable project. It's kind of like going down the street to your neighborhood bar and walking in and seeing all the regulars. They're the people that are always going to be there, and there are materials that you're always going to need for your wearables project. You're probably going to need a microcontroller so that you can add sensors or have outputs. Likely, you're going to want conductive thread. Conductive thread will allow you to create all the circuits instead of using wire, and it's much more aimed towards fabric because it's flexible. And then you might want to add a little bling bling with some LEDs because everyone loves the blinky blinky. Lastly, you're going to need to give it a little bit of power. And so you have some options when it comes to batteries to give your microcontroller some juice. Let's take a look at conductive thread and microcontrollers so that you know where you can get started. Let's look at the usual suspect number one, which is going to be conductive thread. Now, what is conductive thread? Conductive thread can carry a current, and so you can use it in place of wires to create flexible circuits in your wearables. Now, conductive thread typically is made up of stainless steel or silver, some kind of metal. Sometimes it's made up of a variety of materials, and so you might see something like nylon, which is then silver coated. The silver is conductive, therefore it's conductive thread. A little bit of a warning, if you're going to use that type of thread, you can't solder to it. It just can't handle the heat of the iron. And also, over time, you might see the effects of oxidation. And what will happen is, like, over a year or so, the thread will turn black and your circuit will no longer work. Now, not trying to freak you out, you have a lot of other options. And another great option is the stainless steel 3-ply conductive thread, which I purchased at Adafruit. Now, this thread itself comes in a couple flavors. There's 2-ply and there's 3-ply. And 2-ply, you can just slam right into your sewing machine and it'll work no problem. And then the 3-ply is something that you're going to want to hand sew. It's a little bit heavier. It's fairly smooth, and it's just a little bit weightier than you would expect from a normal thread. Now, with all these choices, how do you know that you made the right choice for your project? Well, conductive threads vary in resistance, and so you need to check the resistance on the thread. Something like a 2-ply is going to be really good when you're creating a project where what you're sewing to or the traces are fairly close. If you're doing something that's far away from the microcontroller, you might want something that's 3-ply, and it'll handle that just a little bit better. Now, you can calculate what resistance you need with Ohm's law, but, you know, worst comes to worst, you can get the 3-ply and rest assured it's going to work. Many people choose a wearables project as their first project to get started when they're looking at electronics, and that's because it doesn't require any kind of special machinery or materials. You just need your thread and a needle, your microcontroller, maybe a little bit of imagination, and you're good to go. It's very forgivable, and so if you screw something up, you can always just tear out the thread and start again. Conductive thread feels and acts a little bit differently than thread. It's a little bit more slippery, tying knots is a little bit harder, and so here are five things that you need to consider when you are dealing with conductive thread. Number one, conductive thread has a different texture. It's heavier and it can be a little bit more stiff than your typical thread. Number two, it likes to fray. You can see the ends there. To smooth that down, you can use some kind of a wax. They often recommend beeswax, but often I'll just use chapstick or something that I have available. Number three, it can easily twist when you're sewing through, and so often you want to just hold it taut so it doesn't twist and you've got that nice connection. Number four, it's uninsulated, which means that if you sew two traces and they touch, they'll conduct. You want to make sure that you design your project so that your traces are not going to be connecting, and if they are going to kind of intersect at some point in time, that you have a layer of insulation. When these two connections, you know, are connected and you have these two traces that cross, what happens is a short circuit. A short circuit in general is extremely dangerous and you want to avoid it at all costs. You're not going to get an explosion or boom or anything, but again, you want to be careful and make sure that you insulate them and they don't cross. Number five, when sewing, you want to make sure you keep your traces or your little stitches short and that the gaps between them equally short and that you pull them nice and tight. And that way you have a nice consistent kind of circuit running through. Conductive thread is just one of many conductive materials. For example, you could use this conductive fabric to make a nice soft switch that you can then use and put on your jacket, and when it gets touched, it can maybe activate something. There's also conductive ribbon, which has conductive thread sewn in, and so it's easier to sew in all your NeoPixels, for example, and they've already got the threads along the line. Many textiles are conductive, but how do you know? And the way that you find out if something's conductive is you test for continuity. Wait. What's continuity, right? Well, continuity is when two things are connected electrically. There's an easy way to figure out if items have continuity, and that's to use this tool, the multimeter. Now, this is something that most people don't really play with too much, but I'm going to show you today how to use it to check if items have continuity and you can use them as conductive materials. So let's get started. I'm going to go and set the dial on this item to be where that little speaker is. If you turn it this way, it looks like a Wi-Fi symbol, and that way we know that we can test for continuity on an item. Now, my display will show one here, and if we touch these two items to any material, we should hear a beep. So let's try this. I'm gonna bring this fabric that I bought that's conductive fabric, or so I've been told. Let's see if we can go through and figure out if that's truth or myth here. So I can put any of these items down because they are not polarized, and I hear that lovely beeping sound. I know that these have continuity and therefore they're conductive material and I can use them. Let's take a look at some sewing thread that might be used in a project, and let me double check to make sure that I don't have any continuity in the sewing thread. So I'm going to put these down against the items, again, full contact, and I hear no beeping sound. It's not conductive. And that means I can sew on top of any of these items and I'm not going to worry. It'll be good to insulate or even sew things in place and not worry about it carrying any of that current. Now let's look at the stainless steel thread that I bought. Now, this thread should have continuity. If I put this down and I put this down, I get that lovely beeping sound again. So I know that this thread has continuity. And that is how you can check any of your components in order to see if they are conductive, and you can take a look around and see anything around the house might be available for you to use in your textile project. All right, let's look at the usual suspect number two, which is going to be microcontrollers. Now, microcontrollers are something that you're going to want to use in your wearable project so that you can either sense the environment or maybe you have some output, a speaker or some LEDs, that kind of thing. And I'm going to show you three microcontrollers today that are geared towards wearables, and you can easily start to use them in any of your wearables project. Now, you're going to notice a couple of things that these microcontrollers have in common. And so number one is that they're flat and round. And it almost looks as if someone took an Arduino, smushed it down, and then flattened it and kind of made a circular board for it. So they're all thin so that they can lie on your fabric, you know, fairly tight to your fabric. They're not bulky, and they're going to be ideal for any of those kind of wearable projects. Number two is that you'll see that they have their pins exposed and they have holes in them. And that's so you can just put your thread through the hole and you can make the connections, because these pads here are silver plated or they're covered in some kind of metal. So once you sew with conductive thread, you're making that connection. And so they also have that. And then number three, they are all Arduino compatible, which means that you can use the Arduino IDE to program them. So the first one I want to take a look at is the one I have in my hand, which is the LilyPad Arduino. And the LilyPad Arduino was made in 2007 by Leah Beckley. And so it was, and still is to this day, created for wearables, and it's more of a platform when you think of LilyPad. It's got the microcontrollers, but it also has the components that are constructed much in the same way. They lie flat, they have the sewable kind of connection pads, so you might have a battery holder or LEDs or a soft button, that kind of thing. So let's take just a little bit of a deeper look at the LilyPad, and I'm going to put it under the camera here. Now, if we look at the LilyPad, you'll see that it has 14 pads that you can sew to. And on this corner here, you're going to have your power and your ground. Now, out of these 14 pins, 6 of them are going to be analog, and there are 6 that you can use pulse width modulation. So that's handy if you want to take an LED, for example, and dim it down. Now, one thing to consider with the LilyPad is that it can only handle so much power. So if you give it more than 5.5 volts, you are going to affect and potentially destroy this board. Also, if you plug it in or kind of power it up backwards, something that sometimes beginners do, again, you can affect this board that way. You might get in trouble with that. Now, the LilyPad, you can purchase anything with the LilyPad or the platform, any of the components, any of these microcontrollers on a SparkFund, and you can follow Leah Beckley if you want to check any of the great work that she's doing in the e-textile space. Okay, let's look at the second microcontroller, and that's going to be Adafruit's Flora. Now, you have version 1 and version 2 of the Flora, and the one that I've used in my jacket that you saw at the beginning of this episode is a version 2. Now, if we look at the size, it's, you know, comparable to the size of this Clementine. Not that big, it's actually a little bit smaller, and it's super thin, so it lays flat against all your clothing. Let's take a little bit of a deeper look at the Flora. I'm going to put it under the camera here. Now, version 1 of the Flora is programmable with your Arduino IDE with a mini USB. But they changed that in version 2, and it supports a micro USB, and so it's going to be a micro B USB, something that you might have around the house a little bit more, and it's a little bit more standard. They also put on a NeoPixel on board here, and so you can now use that to test any of your Blink sketches, which is basically the hello world of all Arduino work. And this device is fairly cheap. It's about $19.95, I think, or around $20 on the Adafruit store. Now, you're going to see this item has 14 pads that are sewable, and there's a variety of different pins, but the one thing I want you to notice is that unlike the LilyPad, you can get ground and power from a variety of these pins, and so you can use them to do that as well. The battery here means that you can use a little LiPo battery, one of those thin little 3.3 volts or 3.7 volt LiPo batteries, and you can just plug it right in, and it's going to sit nice and tight to your clothing. Now, one of these bad boys can power, you know, at least 41 neopixels. I mean, I did 41 neopixels in here, but I'm pretty sure you can handle anything up to 50. You could handle a lot more if you want to offset the power to those neopixels and not use your board to power them. Now, this has a little onboard regulator, so you don't have to worry about giving it, you know, too much power like you did the Lily Pad. It handles all that for you, so you could throw a 9-volt battery at it and you're not going to ruin your board. There's plenty of other external components that are meant just to be used for the Flora, and they follow this kind of same design and same pattern. Now, for $20, this for me is a great buy. All right, let's look at one more microcontroller, the third one in this round, and it's going to be the Gemma made by Adafruit. So again, it's round, and if I pull up a quarter, you'll see that it is, you know, just a little bit bigger than a quarter. This item, it has less power and it has less pins. It's smaller. Good things do come in small packages. And so you are giving up a few things when you use this item, but for tucking it away in a small little hat or something along the lines, this will do just fine. So let's take a good look at the Gemma by Adafruit. Now, the Gemma has less power and it has three pins that you can use, and they are going to be input-output pins. One of them is analog and the other two are going to be pulse width modulated. It's pretty cheap at $10, so this is perfect for any of your kind of weekend projects. It has a power switch, so you can turn this item off and on as well. And that's really handy if you have it sewed into a garment and you don't want to constantly use all your battery. Now, even though you program this one on the Arduino, it is not 100% Arduino compatible. Sometimes what might happen is if you plug it into your USB 3 port, it might not get recognized. So make sure that you're on your USB 2. Also, it doesn't have a serial port connection, so you can't send and receive data on the serial in that way. Now, you gotta give up a little to get a little, and for a device this small, there's no complaints about those two items that you have when working with the Gemma. This is perfect for any of those small little projects. Maybe you wanna have a plush toy that makes a sound. Maybe you're gonna build a hat that tells you when you need to apply sunscreen. This is going to be your go-to device. Now, we have talked about the Photon before, and this device here, if you go to SparkFun, they have a new shield for it that's meant for wearables. And again, it's a round circle, all the pins are flattened out, and they have those sewable pads. And so you can also work with this device in terms of wearables to get started for any of your kind of soft electronic projects. All right, so we've covered conductive thread, and we've covered microcontrollers, but I really want to start to focus on the fun stuff. And for me, that's going to be LEDs, but there's a bunch of sensors that you can be using with your wearables project. And we're going to take a quick look at some of them. And so the first thing I want to look at is the Blinky Blink, which is going to be the LEDs. So let's take a look at what I have. If you're going to use a Flora, here are two options for you in terms of LEDs. Now, the first one, this is called the LED sequin. And it's fairly small, and it is just like a sequin. It gives you a really big burst of light. And these come in colors. And so this one, for example, is white. You can get red, green, blue, and you can just chain them along the line and power up all these items on your project. This would be great for a Gemma, for example. And so this is one option when it comes to LEDs. Now, the other one is the NeoPixel. And the NeoPixel, they've mounted on a board, they've given you your plus and your negative, and then you have your pin that goes in. So the thing that you need to consider here is that when you start to thread in or create your circuit, that you're following the direction of the arrows. And so if you are going to chain multiple of these items together, the next one should come after that, and the arrows should be going in that direction. Now, these are addressable and they're RGB, and so that means that you can create any color that you possibly want in the rainbow with these items, and they've been created explicitly for wearables because they're small, they're flat, they've got that kind of round shape. You could easily just solder something on the back here if you wanted to, and there you go. So you have some LEDs. Now, another option that you can use is going to be the NeoPixel ring. And again, I'm just showing what I have on hand. And this NeoPixel ring, it is, you know, a little bit thicker, but this might be good for some of your wearable projects. And you can address all these and do animations, do a rainbow gradient, that kind of thing. Something like you might have saw on my hood. And these are really easy to use. Now, if you want to use something like this, you'll see that they have their little pins exposed. But what you can do is you can get this great material, and it is called silicon wire, and it's really flexible. Okay, so you can imagine using like this to create a messenger bag or something where you can just tuck it into a seam if you wanted to. And all you need to do is just expose some of the ends and you can solder. And so that's really great with wearables project to kind of create this initial area, and then you can sew to it if you want. That's what I did for my jacket, for example. And so silicon wire is by far one of my favorite things that you can use. And it goes a little bit quicker than sewing. Sewing can be a little bit time consuming. In terms of components, there's a bunch of things that you can use, and you can use anything that you can imagine, and some are explicitly made for wearables. And so this one, for example, is going to be your accelerometer, gyroscope, that kind of thing. So you could easily put this in your cycling jacket, and you could start to log information or have animations of LEDs based on any of the data that you get from here. And again, it's made for wearables because it's super flat. It's got that kind of construction, and it's part of this Flora platform. Now, there's a bunch of components you can get with it. There's UV sensors across the board. You can even go get a heart rate monitor if you want for some of your projects. So it's up to you how you construct them and how you put them into your wearables item. So we've walked through some of the components to get you started, but why not do a sample project? And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you how I arrived at this t-shirt, which is basically the best cat t-shirt known to mankind. It's cats in space. And what we're going to do is we're going to put in a Flora microcontroller. I'm going to sew it in. I'm going to add one of these little NeoPixels at the bottom, and we're going to fire it up and see if we can get it to work. And that way you can see the steps of sewing this item in, how you got to create your traces, and, you know, even techniques for tying off the knots and then coming to this. So let's see if we can get this working. I've put my t-shirt into an embroidery hoop, and it's going to keep it nice and tight, and that way it's a lot more taut and easier to sew through. I've got my conductive thread, I've got a needle. I'm going to place my microcontroller to figure out where I want it and how I'm going to design the circuits. Often people will use some kind of chalk to figure out where their circuits are, because remember, the wires can't cross, otherwise you get a short circuit. So I'm going to try to run a NeoPixel towards the bottom. Now push it up, there you go. You'll see the NeoPixel. I'm going to try to run it there. So what I'm going to want to do is place this. And then the first thing I'm going to sew is the ground wire down to the NeoPixel, and I'll make that ground connection first. So once I have that, what I can do is I can start to get some thread, and I'm going to thread this needle. Now, you'll see that it's frayed, and you can use beeswax or some kind of chapstick. One thing when you're selecting the length of your thread, make sure that it's probably no longer than your arm, because otherwise it gets really hard to manage because it does twist up. So you can always, you know, do it a couple times. I'm going to thread it. I'm going to pull it all the way through, and I'll notice that a little end here has some damage. And so I'm just going to make sure I clean that up and I'll be good to go. And so now I'll start to do the placement of the microcontroller, and I'll come from underneath with a knot at the end, and I'm going to sew through that ground pad when I place it a couple times. And so I want to make sure two or three times to make sure that I've got some good coverage on that pad and that I have a really good connection. Don't want to get lazy here. All right, so once I have that set up, I can start to run my actual circuit or my trace to that NeoPixel. And so going through, I can go and start to, you know, stitch away from it and towards the NeoPixel. And I just want to be very careful of what I'm doing here in terms of creating that trace. And so this is where it gets a little lengthy. You want to make sure that you're pulling everything nice and taut, and that you don't have a lot of gaps between each of the stitches. You notice it gets a little twisty there. So you sometimes have to continually, you know, play with that thread and make sure that it's in place. Again, always pulling it as taut as I can and going through and starting to do more of the traces. Now I just want to go through and do the same thing for the NeoPixel. So I'm going to go to the ground pad and I'm just going to sew a couple times, you know, over and under into that ground pin to make sure I've got a secure connection. On the other side, when I'm done, I can kind of go back and take my tail and go through a few of the stitches I've already done on that item. And that way I'm securing the tail a little bit. I'm just strengthening that connection. I want to tie it off, make that knot, and I'm going to have to make sure that this knot doesn't loosen up. And so I want to make sure I tie it a couple times, make a good connection. And then what I can do is I can seal it with some clear nail polish. And this is a trick that you'll see on Adafruit, and it works really well. And it'll help you make sure that that's like a good connection. And, you know, when you cut off those threads, it'll be, it's not going to fray. So now I'm going to repeat this for the power, and I'm also going to go ahead and do the same kind of stitching for the pin. And so once I've done that and gone through that process, I can start to figure out if this circuit's going to work. And so again, it's the same procedure, making sure that I cut the right length and I pull it through the pad and I make sure I do a good connection with the pad and then all the way to that circuit. And so this is the part where, you know, it takes a little bit of time.
Okay, so by now you've probably figured out that I can't sew. But man, kudos for trying, right?
One finishing thing is I'll just make sure again that I kind of seal all of those knots, and I'll cut all of these little tails fairly close so that we don't have any of them touching each other. And that way I'm not going to get a short circuit, and then I can test this puppy out.
All right, so I've programmed this Flora, which is the NeoPixel strand test, and I just set it to 1, which will just work fine to make sure that this actually works. And the pin I was using was 10, so I just set the pin to 10, and I set the number of pixels to 1, and I uploaded that to the Flora. Now, all I'm going to do now is plug it in, and hopefully we'll have some light or blinky blinky or something. Here's that moment. And we have some blinky blinky.
Yay, it's running through that strand test. So all of our connections is working fine. I'm powering it just off of a little 5-volt battery. So again, it's fine. It's one of those little phone batteries you can get.
And there we go. I have my NeoPixel that's all the way down here, trace through here, and it is going through that animation test. So you've learned some of the basics for starting your first wearable project, and all the resources and materials will be listed in the blog post down below. So explore all the materials that you can, explore all the methods that you can, and remember to come back and share any of the magic that you might make. I'm Stacey Mulcahy, and thank you for spending time with me on this episode of The Maker Show. Make more!